shape me and mold me and have it all. Say, take me and make me have it all.
Is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to lift out verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And I want to share from the subject, Father knows best. Father knows best. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Paul says, wherefore, which means, therefore, I urgently admonish you to be followers of me. Of me. Why would Paul ask these persons to follow him? Well, on another occasion he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And it's a reason he said that is because spiritually he has the right to ask those who have come into the knowledge of Christ Jesus under his ministry and through the preaching of the gospel. One of the things that's so interesting about this is, and that's why I tell folk, be sure to listen to God, to hear from God, because God will put you in a place and under a leader who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. But the response to that is that you would obey what God has said and to carry out his commands. It is the pastor, the leader, the under shepherd, whom God has placed over a specific people to follow the dictates of the Word of God. It is not my responsibility if you choose not to follow. It is my responsibility to give you the words to follow. That means if you choose to disobey what thus saith the Lord through this man of God whom God has placed over this house, then you are directly disobeying and disrespecting both the man of God and the God the man represents. If you would back up just a little bit, matter of fact, back up two more verses and listen to what Paul is saying. He says, I write not these things to shame you, to shame you. He says, but as my beloved sons, to warn you, to warn you. Now, he's making clear two things. One, that you are, and he's speaking to the Corinthians in this case, my beloved sons, meaning you are the fruit of my spiritual loins. He says, the love in this thing is that I don't want to see you go wrong. He loved them enough not to let them have their own way. And my brothers and sisters, that is the truth. When somebody really loves you, they won't sit back and let you go in the wrong direction, let you live the wrong way, let you say the wrong things. They're going to give you insight. They're going to be instrumental in helping you understand what is the right way, what are the right things to say, what is the right way to live. And Paul takes responsibility for the fact that not only is he the apostle that God has anointed for this time, but he's also the spiritual father for these folk who have come to Christ through his ministry. Notice again, I write not these things to shame you. He's making it clear, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to show you up or show you out. I'm trying to get you on straight street. And sometimes that may cause a little embarrassment. And sometimes that might cause you to feel like, oh, well, Pastor's ringing on me. Pastor's, you know, you're pushing down on me. He's stepping on my feet. Well, every now and then you need your feet stepped on. If you're walking in the wrong way, every now and then you need some correction. Because the Bible tells us God's word is given by inspiration of God. And it is good for reproof, for correction. All of those things are necessary in and through the word of God to help you live the life God wants you to live. I want you to see something else, because in this whole fourth chapter, there are five things that sums up the whole fourth chapter. These five things are one. Paul, in the beginning, verse 1 on through the 21st verse, he's talking about one, humility. Humility. It's so important that Christians recognize God don't like no arrogant, prideful folk who think they're all that. Paul said, if you want to look at sinners, I'm chief of sinners. In other words, they didn't get no lower than me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul wasn't trying to act like he was way up there, although God showed him some things that no man on earth had ever seen that were too unlawful for them to hear because they were not in the spiritual state that God wanted them to be in, to hear and to see and to show the things he revealed to Paul. Paul didn't get a big head, and just in case he got a big head, God allowed the enemy to buffet him with thorns in his flesh. What were they there for? To keep him humble. Lest he think himself more than he ought to. And so, my brothers and sisters, just because God uses you, he's not using you because you are all of that. He's using you because he has chosen you to do that. That's why he gets all the glory. No matter what it is you're doing, preaching for him, singing for him, living for him, praying for him, encouraging for him, whatever your ministry is, it's not for you, it's for him. But he does it through you. So Paul talks about being humble. Secondly, he talks about being faithful. Because it don't matter how humble you are, if you're not faithful, what good does it do? You show up when you feel like showing up. You give when you feel like giving. You in here when you feel like being in. But if anything's going out in the world, I'll catch you out there. I'll see you when I can, preacher. God has too many fair weather Christians. You ain't got to say, man, I know I'm talking right this morning. The reason why we are not what we ought to be is because we are not focused on God. You can't be in the church and out the church at the same time. If you're in the world, you're in the world. But if you're in the church, you ought to be through with the world. For the express reason of knowing that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Who can trust you? Who can follow you? Who can believe you if you're double-minded? So he talks about being faithful. Thirdly, he talks about suffering. You can't be no saint and don't suffer. If you're not going to suffer for Christ, the Bible says you're not going to reign with Christ. So if you're not going to suffer down here, I have a question for you. When are you going to suffer? Because I read the end of the book, Revelation, just in case those of you don't know it. And I found out it ain't going to be no suffering up there. Matter of fact, there won't be no more crying up there. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. Won't be no more sorrow up there. No more death up there. No more pain up there. For the former things are passed away. So if you're not going to suffer for Christ, when are you going to suffer? That simply means you got to go through something. Look at Paul talking about all the things as an apostle he has suffered. Apollos suffered. And matter of fact, it appears, and I need you to hear this, the higher God raises you, the more you will suffer. That's why you need to be careful about wanting to be in positions, because there's a great cost that goes with the positions God elevates you to. And there's a great responsibility that God's going to hold you a whole nother level and levels beyond that of those who follow you that God is holding you to. And so you will have to suffer. But the fourth thing he talks about is the true nature of being a Christian leader. The nature of being a true Christian leader. You've got to realize he's talking to the Corinthians. Corinth was an evil place. Corinth was a sinful place. Corinth, that was a slogan or a saying that says, live like a Corinthian, meant to live loose and fancy free, to have no restraints, to have no regards for God or man. Live like you want to live. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. In Corinth, it was anything goes in Corinth. It was any way the wind blows is cool with me. In Corinth. And it was just like that evil place where these people whom Paul had preached to and come to Christ were Christians. But listen, because Paul had moved on, he was preaching and ministering and continuing to evangelize. And so out of his presence, guess what happened? They started doing like most folk. They started slipping back into darkness. They started going back into their old ways. And they started acting as if they were part-time lovers of God. And so Paul says, listen, I'm not writing these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, to warn you, get your act together. Paul made it clear, I'm coming back, and all these arrogant folk that's talking that big talk, I'm going to see if you got the power to back it up. This is at the end of the chapter. He said, listen, because I can come one of two ways. I can come with a rod, or I can come in love. But either way you want me to come, I can bring it. Now he's talking bold like this. Why? Because he is their spiritual father. And father knows what? So he says in verse 15, though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, Paul was talking about relationships here now, because that was the relationship of the instructor, the teacher, the guardian, the nanny, the person who imparts understanding and lessons of life and life coaches, etc. He's saying you're going to have a whole lot of those folk sowing into your life. But what you're not going to have is many fathers. I begin to list in my mind the many fathers that we might have. First, our Heavenly Father, who is first and foremost in every believer's life. Secondly, our earthly father or biological father. Then thirdly, well, under biological fathers, there is the grandfather and the great-grandfather and so on. But thirdly, then there is the spiritual father. The spiritual father. That's the one whom God has called you through and is ministering through you, to you through him. And then fourthly, there is perhaps the stepfather. And fifthly, the father-in-law. Sixth, the godfather. Seventh, the father-like figure. So if you added the grandfathers into that, it'd be eight and on and out. But here is the point. It's not many compared to all those instructors, guardians, teachers, professors, people who will sow seeds into your life. Here's what Paul was saying. Don't get the relationships twisted. The Father has begotten you and has established a foundation in you through Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. The teachers, the instructors, the guidance counselors, the guardians, the folk who were so into your life with influence and all many other kinds of ways are just helps and aids to guide you. This word instructor also is a has a different connotation as well, because it also uses the word of a slave being a butler or a nanny to the child, and his responsibility was to train that child both academically and conceptually and many other ways in life, so that that child, until they reached the age of maturity, had this person who developed them. But that relationship, though it was a close relationship, though it was a good relationship, because the father put them in charge of the child until the child would be able to be of mature age to reason for him or herself. What he did not want the child to miss is, while you have many of them, I'm still your father. Don't get it twisted. I am the one who has the first and final word in your life. Here's what he wanted them to know. He says, therefore, in the Bible it says, wherefore in the King James Version, wherefore what? Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech, strongly urge you, warn you, admonish you. For what else does he beseech them? To be followers of the instructors? Followers of the teachers? Followers of the guardians and all the other folk that's in your life? Followers of who? Followers of me, the Father. Why? Because even the slave had instructions to make sure that everything he taught him or her in that process was to watch the Father so that they would be able to be like the Father. That's one of the reasons why Jesus said in John 14 and 9, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. He's made it clear the Father and I are one. What you've got to understand is I am the express image of my Father. No man has seen the Father, but I'll tell you one thing. If you've seen me, you're looking right at him. There won't be any difference between how he looks and I look. And one of the things Jesus was making clear, he was again stressing the reality that we are our Heavenly Father's children. And with that, that same relationship between the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, should exist in a lower sense with us. Remember, Jesus with the Father were coexistent together. Coexistent together. They were co-equal together. And they were co and are co-eternal together. That's why Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Because you are looking at him. That's the way it ought to be through believers who are walking, talking, living the life that represents their Heavenly Father. And their spiritual father should be walking and living and talking in such a way that if you can't see your Heavenly Father, you ought to be able to see your earthly spiritual father and see how he's living and follow him. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, what this literally says is, if you see I'm not following Christ, you don't have a right to follow me. But if I'm following Christ, you have every right and responsibility to follow me. If I'm preaching and teaching and showing you in your word, not my word, the word you have, the sayings of God, the truth of God, and doing those, you have a responsibility to follow me as I follow Christ. And every example that Paul talked about, from humility to faith to suffering, to showing what a true Christian leader is all about. And then the fifth thing he did was he challenged the believers, every believer, to align his or her life with the values and lifestyle with the gospel. To align it. In other words, come into agreement with what the word says. That should be our confession, whatever the word says. It may not feel like it. It may not look like it, but if the word says it, and I'm a believer, then I believe it. And if I believe it, then I can speak it. And if I speak it, it ought to be because I believe it. And here's what I know, that if I speak it and believe it, I will see it. It may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but I will see it because it is his word. Wherever I am in my faith, God will meet me there at that level. If I've got a little faith, he'll meet me right there. If I got medium faith, he'll meet me right there. But if I have great faith, he will meet me up there. Wherever I am, God will meet me. You heard the old folks say, if you got the faith, God's got the power. Any believer today? I said, any believers today? If you have the faith, God has the power. And that's why we stay in the word. That's why Paul says, and listen to this. He says, not only do I want you to follow me, because that suggests that you ain't following him. You ever say that again? He says, the only reason I want you to follow me, because that suggests you ain't. You are not. You ain't following. And so here's what he said. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send somebody to help you. That's in the 17th verse. I'm going to send my son Timothy. Now, let me say this to you. Every pastor, every leader has someone who has connected with his spirit so much so that they know how to carry out because they know how to mimic. This word follow means to imitate. It means to mimic. It means to impersonate. It means to emulate. It means to simulate that person that you are following. You don't just walk behind them. You walk it like them. Behind them. Do you hear me today? Some folk just walk behind you. They all over, and they ain't looking. You stop, boom, run right into you, because they ain't paying no attention. They just walking behind you. But the folk who are imitating you, or watching you, observing you, seeing the way you do things, they are particular about what is particular to you. And so if there is a need for them to step up, they can step up and do things just like you do them. And they call that a son or a daughter in the ministry. Now, I got news for you. I'm going to be as clear as I can be. Everybody that's in the house ain't necessarily a son or daughter. Let me put it another way. Everybody in the fold aren't sheep.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast,